Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Here we go. Highs of 49 today. Plenty of sunshine, which is important. It's 35 degrees, 34. Most of the area above freezing, except for Covington, where it's 30. So really no need to run the water anymore, I don't think. And the highways are doing what they can to get them open. Scott Boyle, DOTD, just to, if you're just tuning in, and give you an example of what they're facing. They're talking about blotches of or splotches, whatever you want to call it, of black ice on hundreds of miles of roadway that could be as small as 5 by 5 feet that could cause an accident. So they're out there trying to identify them, trying to find them, trying to break them up with sledgehammers. And there's a quote now, and propane torches, so that's a challenge. Carlton Dufour shows similar challenges on the causeway. He expects to have southbound single lane open to regular traffic by 9 a.m. Everything goes all right. Two lanes open by, I think he said, maybe 3 p.m. at the latest, and they should have everything open, both lanes, both directions, for the afternoon commute. Paul LaGrange joins us right now to talk about any challenges you might have. If you have any questions, text them in to 504-260-1870, and I'll pass them along to Paul. How you doing, Paul?
Good morning, Tommy. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking the time. I think it's all about patience now at this point. And again, I think our mindset is, you know, the snow happens. It's a one-off event. We play in it. Then we go out the next day and it's gone. But I think people need to realize when they see the snow on the lawn that this is what is an exceptional event, right?
Exactly. I agree. And listen, we have some uniqueness to this particular snowstorm we haven't had to deal with in the past, and that is the larger quantity of snow and also the very cold temperatures. And that specifically I'm talking about your roof and your gutters. Mm-hmm. And you and I have talked about these briefly, but now is the day where probably there's a good chance that the bottom edge of your roof is all defrosted. There's no standing snow or ice there. It won't be by the middle or the end of today. And it's now time for you to go look and see if you have any damage to your roof shingles or to flashing, or maybe your gutter cans pulled away from your fascia a little bit, and document it with photographs. And then call the professionals and have them come document it and give you prices to correct it if you don't have the skill set to do it yourself or the time to do it yourself. You want to get on this list early, and if you have to go through an insurance claim process, make sure you understand what it takes to make that happen in a timely manner and what documentation you need to have in order to, go through that claim.
So what do we need to worry about, Paul? I got snow on a roof. A lot of people still do in different areas, depending on the sun. Is it too late to do anything? Has it turned to ice? Do we want to do anything with the roof? Leave it alone? Let it melt?
I think at this point, if you haven't done anything with the snow on the outer perimeter, or the lower edge of your roof, just let it do its thing, because the ice dam's already there if they're there. Mm-hmm. And a good way to determine if you have ice dams or any ice dams that really could be damaging is if you have very long icicles that are hanging from the edge of your roof at one or two spots. It's not going to be everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's going to be in the areas where for instance, where two roofs meet, like a valley, where the melting snow is directed to that spot. So those are places, if you have those icicles, that then you have ice dams to follow, and that's a good place for you to inspect once that ice is completely melted for any damage. And listen, if it got bad enough, and I know we have listeners all over the state and the Gulf Coast, but if it got bad enough where the ice dams really would cause damage, not just to your roof shingles, but to the outer perimeter of your ceiling sheetrock, and also at the very top of that wall, you can go in your attic if you feel safe enough to go in your attic with a flashlight and see if you see any wet insulation. If that's the case, you definitely want to take some action addressing all those wet surfaces like the millwork, the sheetrock, and the insulation.
So what about any efforts with the gutters? I'm thinking about water. Would that in any way mitigate it, or would it be the worst thing in the world you could do to try to get the ice to melt if there is still ice there?
No, it's a good idea. I think the first step is to make sure your downspout's not clogged with leaves or debris, so that when you do put that garden hose there and slowly, because it's a slow process to, to melt that ice with cold water coming out of a garden hose, right? You wouldn't want to use hot. You want to use cold water so you don't cause any other damage. And you can slowly melt it. So make sure that the gutters cans where it connects to the top of the downspout and the downspout itself is not blocked, and slowly start melting that ice with some water out of a garden hose.
As far as somebody texted in and wants to know about getting up on a roof and the snow that's way up at the top by the peak of the roof, first of all, I don't know what to tell them because I would think it would be extremely slippery and dangerous to get up there. I don't know. Tell me, Paul, what to do.
I wouldn't climb on my roof. In fact, it's still too early for professional roofers who do this for a living to climb on your roof. You need to wait another day to, depending what your circumstances are and how much shade you have applied to your house, how much snow and ice remains. Once we stay above freezing, whatever is there is going to melt very, very quickly. And at that point, you can get someone, a professional, or if you have that level of confidence and experience to climb the roof, you can do that yourself. But talk about slippery and could hurt yourself and also damage your roof. This is not the time to do that yet. We're close, but we're not there yet.
Patience, just a little bit of patience. My heating failed and went from 66 to 58, says this degrees. Auxiliary heat, I can never say that word. Auxiliary, how do you say it?
Auxiliary.
Auxiliary, that's what I'm
yes,
about to say. Heat came on several times. I'm now inching it up 1 degree at a time. Is this normal, or should I call an AC heat person next week? Thanks. I don't know what auxiliary heat is.
So I'm presuming they have a heat pump, or they can have electric heat. So when a heat pump operates in the heating mode, it takes, believe it or not, there's enough energy in the air, enough heat in the air to, with through the refrigeration process, to put heat inside your house. And when we hit those really cold nights, you know, those 10, 12, 13, 14-degree nights, there's a good chance that supplemental, or as you called it, auxiliary heat, turned on to supplement the heat pump for heating your house. And then you can also operate on emergency by itself. So in the event your heat pump fails, you can change or adjust your thermostat just to emergency heat, and it just uses the electric strips to heat your house until you get your heat pump repaired. If he doesn't, or she doesn't have a heat pump, it could be just electric heat. And it's possible that you are having some performance problems. First thing I would do, because this is something you do yourself as a homeowner, change the return air filter. Make sure you have enough air getting into your air condition and the heat of return air. Make sure you open up all your bedroom doors. Don't close any bedroom doors to get all the air moving and turning over inside your house to heat up. But you also want to call your HVAC dealer who is servicing your equipment. There may be something wrong. It shouldn't have dropped that fast, that quick, because the last night really wasn't our coldest nights. So if something's been working for these last 4 or 5 nights, but last night it didn't perform, there's a good chance there's something happening with that equipment.
Thank you, Paul. Valuable information as always. Paul will be on tomorrow morning to answer all of your questions. We'll talk to Jacob Pichot, Public Information Officer, Troop B, Louisiana State Police. When we come back, 721 Traffic Now, WWL. 727, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Jacob Pichot joins us, Public Information Officer for Louisiana State Police, Troop B. How you doing, Trooper?
Hey, good morning, Tommy. Thanks for having me again. How are you?
I'm all right. Been a hell of a week, hasn't it?
It has been.
Tell me, I just wanted to ask you to come on and, you know, I'm trying to avoid the unforced error here where you can maybe that we don't cause ourselves any problems. Just tell people about the highways, about the black ice challenges, about what LSP goes through to determine whether the roadway is safe or not. And you're not trying to punish anybody. You're just trying to keep everybody safe, right?
Right. And, you know, DOTD is the main driving force, and they've been out there working pretty much around the clock trying to get all of our roads open. We've got troopers throughout the Troop B area, as well as throughout the state that's still dealing with this on different checkpoints, making sure that traffic isn't going where is most dangerous right now. There is still ice on the roads, as we saw in the Troop C area, for instance, almost to our area, 90 was opened last night very briefly, and then it began to ice over, so they had to close it back down. So it's still out there, especially the black ice. You won't see it until it's too late, and we don't want – that's why the GNO is still down to one lane, as well as the Huey P. We don't want anything major or very dangerous taking place.
If people do hit a patch of black ice, what are they supposed to do? First of all, you shouldn't be – you know, I'm getting texts from people that they're seeing people going 80 miles an hour and so forth. Right. Address, please, if you will, about just safe driving, basic safe driving.
Right. The first thing you need to do is just watch your speed. I mean, it's still not ideal conditions, and the speed limit, the posted speed limit, is for ideal conditions. So if by chance you do find yourself hitting a patch of ice, don't slam on your brakes, because with that, it will help to induce a greater skid or a spin. If you do start to spin or skid, turn into that until you turn right or come to a stop. Of course, beforehand, like I said, watch your speed and wear your seatbelt. But please watch these areas. And we were getting reports yesterday of people on that one lane on the GNO, for instance, crossing into lanes that aren't clear yet. There's a reason they're not clear. They're still ice. So we don't want you to get hurt or something worse happened to you or anyone else.
I saw it when I was going home on Wednesday afternoon, and I couldn't believe it. And that was 2 days ago. Trooper, the state police can't be everywhere. Law enforcement can't be everywhere. For people that are of a mind to go around barricades, a final warning, perhaps?
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. We are seeing that a lot, because exactly, we can't be everywhere at once. If there are barricades, they're there for a reason. Please do not move them. At the very least, it would be a ticket, which is never fun, but it's potential jail time as well.
There you go. Thank you. Appreciate it, Jacob.
Thank you so much.
You bet, sir. Public Information Office, Louisiana State Police, Troop B. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to Mark Rosa. If you're looking for traffic information immediately, we can't constantly update it every second. You can go to 511LA.org, and that's the State Police and DOTD site, and they'll tell you everything you need to know.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Right now, time for WWL First News. 46, 14 till 8. Hopefully by this afternoon, most of the roads will be back to normal. They're hoping the twin spans will be open by the end of today because you got highs of 49, plenty of sunshine. Causeway should be open in both directions. Carlton Dufour Show tells us by afternoon they hope to have one lane open southbound by 9 a.m., and northbound still has some snow plowed up against the side of it. And again, y'all, you just got to be a little bit patient and look at the snow that still remains on the lawns. And if you're looking for somebody to blame for all of this, blame Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit.
That's what goes on.
Because he's the one that wanted the cold weather, and he's the one that asked for it, and he's the one that enjoys it. So, you know, maybe you know, if you look, I'm just saying, if you're looking for somebody to blame, maybe Mark's your guy. I'm just kidding. Well, hang on, Mark Rosa.
I'm all right. How you doing this morning?
I know you like to travel to where there's cold weather. How did you feel about it coming to you?
Well, you know, Tom, I really like to see the snow, I think it's very appealing to look at, and how it drapes on things, and not to get squishy on us, but the places I go, I like to snow ski, and I like to travel to cold air, especially when it gets so warm down here. But as far as, you know, I did a couple of pieces it wasn't Dave. I'm trying to think during this week.
Yeah, it was on the news,
just talking about. It was, and we were just talking about, you know, how we had one day of snow. Okay, that's really when Monday was fine. It was a holiday. Tuesday was the problem day. We're still dealing with it now, and it's like our area is obviously ill-equipped. And I'm not picking on anybody. It's just I'm just talking about weather. I guess with our humidity, that, you know, this ice sticks around, or the snow turns to ice more quickly than it does in other places. Because, you know, imagine how many places it's snowing right now, and people are going to work like it's normal. And it shut down basically the city for a week. I'm trying to get to the office as soon as the causeway opens. But the other coverage we were doing a little bit earlier, it's like, you know, from a financial standpoint, my heart goes out to people that have positions, have occupations, have jobs that is really not conducive to any of this. That's one thing if somebody was, you know, sitting at home and being paid for it, or call it bad weather pay or whatever. You know, some businesses are doing that. They're paying people not to come to work and keeping their pay consistent, even when, you know, they're not able to open the shop. And so many others have nothing like that or don't have paid holidays. So since Monday, I'm thinking about a friend of mine in particular. She's in social work, so they don't get paid for holidays. So Monday was on her. Tuesday it snowed. Mm-hmm. They're just going in today. So, you know, for them, it's like no pay at all. And how do you deal with that when some of these things come around? And you and I have talked about many times in the past. It's like it gets back to the budgeting and having some powder dry when something comes up and really the outcome is uncertain. And that's the weather all day long. So if I don't know if anybody would have lost their bet saying it's going to snow on Tuesday and we could all look forward to that. It's very different, very novel, and we've not had what we had in such a long time here. But I did enjoy seeing it. But then you say, well, how much do you enjoy making it hard to get back to work, and your people are they can't drive in, and ice is on the road, and the bridges are closed, and you go through all that stuff, and then is the one day of snow worth it? And then it kind of wanes. But to have some powder dry so you could make it through these things, some businesses won't recover the lost sales. That's gone. Mm-hmm. So they had to stay closed, and their people had to stay at home. And there just wasn't a lot of economic activity going on when the whole area is shut down. And it goes back to the kind of basic budgeting of having a few dollars. And it's different for everybody what a few dollars means to one person. It wouldn't work for another person. So that's where somebody's got to be a little bit more candid with themselves and say, look, you know, stuff is going to happen. And am I equipped to handle a day or two without pay? And if the honest answer to yourself is, no, I'm really not, okay, well, then you could do things while things are normal to make sure that there won't be such the catastrophe. I was telling the reporter I was working with, it's like I've seen it over and over where if somebody's payroll is delayed one day, it's an issue. They call HR. Mark,
let me take a break because that brings us up back to what happened with, who was it, the bank that had the problem with the deposit. Capital One. Thank you, Tim Zimmer, back at the studio. And we'll talk about, at that point, we talked about budgeting, and it goes back to snowstorm or whatever it is, and it goes to you can't plan on everything or spend your money like everything's going to go perfectly because it never does. And we'll pick it up there. We come back with Mark Rosen, talk about budgeting and planning and living within your means, which I think is what it comes down to. 751, 9 till 8, traffic now, WWL. 4-6 till 8. I thought it might have been a commercial. I don't know. Mark Rose is with us, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. In light of the disruption due to the winter storm, we're talking about budgeting and saving. And Mark, you know, you had talked about somebody missing the deposit. They had the Capital One issue where the deposit didn't show up. And sometimes people overextend themselves and they think they can afford a car they can't afford, or maybe buy clothes or whatever it is. Talk about the importance of saving and how it seems as though we've gotten away from that in this country, because we are consumer driven.
It's consumer driven, Tommy, and I left off by saying, you know, some people tell me very candidly, come up to my face and say, look, I live paycheck to paycheck, and I appreciate their honesty. And it's like, okay, well, you want to do something about that? Or you want to continue living like that? It seems awfully stressful when payroll is supposed to post on Tuesday, but for whatever, it's going to post on Wednesday, and it's an issue for people. And for many of us that are listening this morning, it's like, how could that be ever an issue? Let me get this straight. It's not going to post on Tuesday. It's going to post on, you're going to get all your money on Wednesday. But no, I can't. No. I've run into a problem then. And that happens. We post our payroll on Monday, and it's in people's accounts on Wednesday, goes through the Fed. And when Monday's a holiday, like it was this past Monday, well, then it gets to people's accounts on Thursday. And just about every time, you know, somebody's calling HR, is there something we can do? And it's like, no, there's something you can do is to have $20 in the bottom of your wallet or purse, and you'd be able to get past that. But again, I don't know how that would be a very stressful situation to me if every day was like that. And I think a lot of people bring it on themselves. Again, thinking of I could see the person's face in my mind that lives more like that than not. And it's like, oh, I called DoorDash to bring me a ham sandwich or something. Yep. It's like, what? You know, so it's like $19.50 for something that needs to cost $5. And it's those types of behaviors, and I think it does boil down to that. It's what we're doing to ourselves and just how we're treating ourselves financially. And it's a behavior modification. It's like, stop that. You know, stop doing that. Look for a way to be a little bit more frugal.
Stop that.
And your life
that.
Would be.
Stop it. Just stop.
Stop abusing yourself.
No, but Mark, let me tell you, I make a decent living, right? I make a decent living, but while we were bivouacked at the station, I was thinking about, okay, maybe, you know, I got a restaurant open, maybe I'll get this. And Ian Ozan and I had a conversation. I'm not going to name the restaurant, but the club sandwich was $18. And it was like, screw that. I don't care. I'll eat an apple. I'll eat whatever we got here. I'll eat some Campbell's soup, but I'm not going to pay $18 for a club sandwich. And I can afford it. Well, it's just the principle of the thing.
That's it. And that's right. You could cut a check for it. The money can go out. You wouldn't miss it at all. It wouldn't change in one iota an aspect of your life. But it's that type of discipline where it says, you know, it's just not worth it. It's crazy.
You're right.
And I think people cross that bridge every single day in something that they do. And whether it's buy routine things, not, you know, I'm buying a house, not this very financially consequential thing, big assets. It's the routine things. And when you were talking about, you know, banking in general, I think we've gotten so dependent. I mean, I can't do without my internet for a day. It's hard when that goes down. Okay, so when we use an electronic payments, you and I did a segment not long ago. If you went to a cash basis, you would see it very clearly and very dramatically, the cash leaving your pocket. But if I can take a debit card out, or even more, I could take a credit card out and say, well, I could make this go away. This is going to be painless and just buy what I want. Impulse buying is, I think, a part of people, for those that are struggling financially, I think that impulse buying gets into the equation to a little or a lot, but it's all too easy to charge something or use an electronic payment method, and then the management kind of goes away. And then all of a sudden it's, well, I maxed out my credit card, and it didn't take long. What did you buy on that? Oh, I can't remember. They can't even remember what brought them up to a $5,000 balance at 27% interest. And I mean, it's just very destructive. It's like, it would be like, you know, somebody smoking.
Some people can't save. I know some people are up against it, but I would suggest that, just as you said, the immediate gratification of spending, maybe just start by saving $20 bills or $100 bills if you can. And then even if you got to just keep them hidden in your house somewhere, you'll be surprised how the satisfaction of that, you realize, wait a minute, I'm accumulating stuff. I'm saving stuff here. I got security. How that will catch on and become a habit. You see what I'm saying? Like a piggy bank almost back in the day.
100%. And it has to be that your anxiety level, your stress level, and tackling that tiger every day, that can't be fun for anybody, and it's just destructive to live like that.
Look at it as though you're buying money. That's what you got. You don't have a new pair of pants. You don't have a brand new car. You're buying money. That's what you got. That's what you have. That's the tangible thing that you have. Mark, valuable information as always. Thank you. We'll get back to the macro economy on Monday when we take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street Monday Morning Markets with Mark. Valuable calculators at jeffersonfinancial.org that'll help you get together with a budget and a savings plan. We're going to talk some football when we come back on WWL.